Hello, everyone, and thank you very, very much for having me here today. It's a big pleasure and a big honor to speak about Italy, the country that I dedicated my entire life to, in such a wonderful and prestigious environment. We are gathered here today to celebrate, to praise, and to show the excellence of Italy, a country that has so much to offer that we can never learn and embrace it all, a country of many beauties, and to enlist them all here would probably be too obvious to be interesting. And yet I'm strongly convinced that we do not really know Italy. We who think we are all masters in opera and spaghetti, experts in moda, masters of Formula Uno and Café Espresso. We are very often caught up in a trap of stereotypes, far as they can be from the truth. The mission of such events, like the event that we are having here today, is to show the real face of this country without prejudice, without demonizing, but also without covering up things that are not perfect. They do not take away the beauty. I would actually say that they emphasize it. Now, let me pass to the very subject of this short presentation, which I called simply Italia in Polonia, examples of Italian-inspired monuments in Poland. As you might know, I am the founder and the editor-in-chief of a Polish magazine entirely dedicated to the Italian culture, La Rivista. Every 2 months, we provide our readers with an extensive look on everything Italian, including traveling, art, cuisine, language, literature, and many more. I would like to say, though, that very often it becomes an excuse in the most positive sense, an excuse to show, promote, and teach values and attitudes like optimism, like joy of life, like passion, and like being open to other people. These, in my opinion, are the true excellence of this wonderful Mediterranean country called Italy. Once we get to know them, we might become addicted to them, and this leads to looking for them everywhere we go, even in our closest surroundings. This is what Italia in Polonia is, searching for the Italian traces here in our own country. While speaking about art, architecture, history, literature, we will often find ourselves learning about the characteristics that I just mentioned. Let me give you some examples, all based on the articles from our magazine. The first place that I would like to take you to, and that I would like to teach you something about Italians, is Łańcut. If we draw a straight line from this Polish southern city to Italy, it will be around 700 kilometers long, but the connection to the Italian culture is extremely close. Łańcut Castle is a 17th century palace. It houses a large museum. The first castle in this site was built by Stanisław Lubomirski, who hired the Italians Matteo Trappola and Giovanni Battista Falconi to build a fortified residence that was called in Italian Palazzo in Fortezza. In the following centuries, the castle was the house of many noble Polish families like Lubomirski, Pilecki, and Potocki. In the 18th century, it hosts Vincenzo Brenna, the Swiss artist who studied in Rome, and who is, by the way, the author of the Policromi in the Czartoryski Palace here in Natoli. All these Italian artists contributed to giving the site an extremely ordered, elegant look with an impressive facade and exquisite interiors, in which one might find a lot of beautiful Italian accents, Venetian chandeliers, copies of Roman frescoes, and important Italian works of art, including a painting by Parmigiano and a famous sculpture by Antonio Canova, who I do not have to introduce. The elegant site of Łańcut is also famous for its so-called Italian garden, a park characterized by symmetrical paths, stairs, sculptures, fountains, and many other water elements. If you want to feel close to the Italian beauty, style, and elegance, to their exquisite taste, you do not have to go to Italy. You can just go to Łańcut. You can experience and cherish the Italian touch also without leaving Warsaw, of course. And you probably know that our capital is full of Italian buildings, including villas and churches. Since we're looking for less obvious sites, though, let us direct our steps to the quarter of Bielany. in the north of Warsaw. In Bielany, you will find the Cimitero Militare Italiano a Varsavia, which is a place of burial of more than 2,000 Italian soldiers who died in Poland during the First and Second World War. The cemetery is a great example of the modernistic style of the times of Benito Mussolini. But first and foremost, and this is what I would like to emphasize here, it's a proof of patriotism and dedication of those who laid down their lives for their values. Bielany is not only a patriotic place, though, even though it reminds us of this very strong connection that most Italians have with their land and its story. Not far from the cemetery, you will find a beautiful church with paintings of the artist from Tuscany, Michelangelo Palloni. The church used to belong to a monastery of Cameduli, monks who came to Poland from the central Italy in the 11th century. They led a very simple lifestyle filled with prayers and physical work in very close contact to nature. And here it comes to my mind right away that this, according to many, is the key to a happy, satisfying life all'italiana, being close to nature and living this simple life, being close to God, being close to your land, and feeling part of its history. Now let me pass to the third and fourth place I would like us to visit today. But first, let me ask you a question. What would life be without love and passion? And also, what would Italy be without them? Think of the city of romantic adventures, the city of love, Venice. We don't have to go to Italy to get there. In the Polish region of Kujawy in northern Poland, we have not less but two places called Venezia. The first one is a part of the city of Bydgoszcz with its extremely picturesque and romantic boardwalk called Bulwar Wenecki and a lovely little bridge where couples whisper to each other and kiss. In the past, in the very close neighborhood, there was a factory of chocolate called Lucullus, which is also an ancient Roman name, and a factory of spirits. For many, two important symbols of passionate life. So typical for the Italians. There is one more place called Venice in Kujawy, a little village close to Żnin. It was founded centuries ago by a man who studied in Italy, in Venice, and decided to call the place of his birth with this name. According to the Polish writer Sienkiewicz, everybody has two countries to love, the country where they were born and Italy. And I guess this is a perfect proof and a perfect example of this way of thinking. Now, let me pass to another Italian attitude, which I would call embracing the moment. If you're tired of traveling, even though today we're traveling here just with our finger on the map, or maybe you're just fed up with the everyday running around, you can take advantage of the Polish contribution to the famous Italian movement called Città Slow, Slow Cities. Città Slow is a movement founded in Italy in 1999, inspired by the Slow Food Organization. The goals of this movement include improving the quality of life in towns by slowing down its overall pace, especially in a city's use of spaces and the flow of life and traffic through them. The main aims of the movement are also protecting the environment, promoting cultural diversity, and providing inspiration for a healthier lifestyle. Luckily and beautifully, Città Slow has expanded broadly beyond Italy, including Poland. And in Italy, you should definitely visit places like Positano, Amalfi, Todi, and Trevi, which are all part of the Città Slow movement. But do not forget also the Polish examples of this movement, which are Reszel, Rhin, Bisztynek, Biskupiec, Olsztynek, and many more. It's important for me to say that Poland is the fourth country in the world as far as the number of slow cities is concerned. So once again, without leaving Poland, you can do like the Italians do. Slow down and enjoy the moment. Carpe diem. Now, let me pass to an extension of this carpe diem attitude, which is being optimistic. even if the circumstances are not always favorable. I would like to show you one of my favorite places in Poland called Krzysztopór. Here you might want to learn something from a great lover of Italy, a 16th century nobleman called Krzysztof Ossoliński, who studied in Italy, of course, like most noblemen of those times did. He studied in Bologna and in Padova. He traveled to Rome and to Florence. As a young student during his trips, he was so impressed with the beauty of the Italian architecture, mostly with the beauty of the Italian villas, including the famous Villa Farnese in Caprarola, that he promised himself to build one on his own when he comes back to his country. His gesture might be considered an act of megalomany, given the outrageous price of the building in Krzysztopór and the fact that the founder died soon afterwards. But after all, I ask myself, aren't the most beautiful works of art usually the fruit of the unlimited, crazy adolescent dreams? The castle in Krzysztopór was created on a request of Ossoliński by a Swiss architect Lorenzo Senes and by the Italians Matteo Castello and Agostino Locci Sr., who, using the materials typical for the area, created a building with a very Italian color. It is strongly inspired by the villa of Emperor Hadrian in Tivoli, close to Rome, and also partially might remind us of the Roman Colosseum. Who knows? Maybe Ossoliński knew the famous Italian saying, "Scolpisci i tuoi sogni in pietra, un giorno parlerà di te," which means put your dreams in the brick or in the rock, and one day it will speak of you. The last place that I would like to close my presentation with is Tarów. Let me call this chapter "Nothing Human is Alien to Me." I would like to finish this presentation by remembering this stunning place in the southern Poland, because I think that it embraces many of the things that we said before. You should definitely visit the impressive church in Tarów, which was designed by Giovanni Zarro. So here we have another Italian name. But the place is famous mostly for the stuccos by Giovanni Antonio Colomba, who, fascinated by the Polish customs, fashions, and traditions, created there a beautiful Polish version of Danse Macabre. It shows people of all conditions, of all levels, who are equal in front of the power of death. It is not preaching, it is simply showing, and showing everything, including the ugliest and lowest of human behaviors. According to the Italian saying, "Nothing human is alien to me." You need to remember that these famous words are originally by Terentius, a Roman playwright, but it's words that I think are very present in Italy also nowadays. And I think Italian people know that life is made of beautiful elements, but also of ugliness. And we should not be afraid of it or ashamed of it. Like I said in the beginning, I think the beauty of Italy stands first and foremost in celebrating the joy of being human. It might be the love of nature, of which we are part, the love of our land, the love of good food, the love of art, the love of other person. You will find all these lessons provided by the Italians here in Poland. Please make sure you will notice and learn. Thank you very much.